Okay, so this deep dive, we're taking on the fragile state of democracy. And wow, this article doesn't pull any punches, does it? Especially with the election so close, it feels like everyone's got an opinion.
Yeah, everyone's got something to say.
But this is different, right? These authors aren't talking heads, they're not politicians, they're everyday people who felt like, I don't know, they had to speak up, you know?
It's a bit like they're sending up a flare, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like a warning shot.
And it's interesting, they don't just focus on America. They put these concerns about American democracy into this whole global context, which I think is really important because we see this trend, right? I mean, look at Hungary, look at Venezuela, this erosion of democratic norms. It's happening everywhere.
It's easy to get so caught up in our own bubble, our own headlines, that we forget that bigger picture.
It's not just an American story.
Exactly. It's like these authors are saying, hey, this matters everywhere, and guess what? We could be on that same path. And, you know, they use that Churchill quote, the one about democracy being the worst form of government, except for all the others.
Right.
Everyone's heard it, but honestly, when was the last time you really sat with that and thought about what it means?
It's a good reminder, isn't it, that no system is perfect, but some are definitely more fragile than we think.
More vulnerable, yeah.
It's like walking a tightrope while juggling,
Yeah.
right? You need constant vigilance. You need a steady hand. And maybe a good safety net wouldn't hurt. It's a slippery slope that's not just a saying.
And they use that phrase slippery slope for a reason.
Yeah, and for a reason. I mean, look at the Weimar Republic in Germany. You had hyperinflation, you had political unrest. What seemed like small compromises at the time, looking back, they were huge red flags. They were steps towards something much, much worse.
It's so easy to dismiss warnings as alarmist until you see that pattern repeating itself, you know? And then it's too late. And speaking of things that sound a little ominous, they go on to talk about this project 2025, which honestly sounds like something out of a political thriller.
Yeah, it does have a kind of ominous ring to it.
They call it a blueprint to fundamentally reshape the federal government, but what does that even mean in the real world? Like, what's the impact?
Well, at its core, it's about power. Who has it and how they use it. Imagine a scenario where experience, expertise, it all gets tossed aside and replaced with blind loyalty. You know, it reminds me a little of the French Revolution. Think about the Reign of Terror, right? You have the Committee of Public Safety, driven by paranoia, ideology. They purged anyone they saw as an enemy, regardless of competence or whether they were actually a threat.
And it didn't end well.
No, it led to chaos and ultimately its own downfall. And that's the worry with this Project 2025, right? What happens when you start replacing career civil servants, people who've dedicated their lives to public service, with political appointees whose main qualification is loyalty?
It feels like you're really risking the integrity of these institutions, the ones that are supposed to serve the people. And they give some really concrete examples of how this could play out, especially with agencies like the EPA and the SEC.
Right, the ones responsible for, little things like clean air and water, making sure Wall Street doesn't crash the economy again. Imagine the EPA being run by people who think environmental regulations are just red tape, roadblocks to profit. Suddenly, that smog over LA doesn't seem like such a far-fetched dystopia, does it?
Not at all.
Or the SEC, the agency that's supposed to protect investors from fraud. Imagine it being run by, well, let's just say people who are very friendly with certain industries. Suddenly, your retirement savings don't feel so safe anymore, right?
Yeah, not so much.
And that's what's so concerning.
It's not theoretical. It's about the rules that govern our lives and how easily those rules can be rewritten. And then, on top of all that, there's this whole other layer, this idea that individual rights are under threat.
Yeah, and I feel like that's the thread that runs through this whole article, this erosion of individual rights. And they use the example of women's reproductive rights to really drive that point home, don't they?
Right, and that's where things get really interesting because you're not just talking about one specific issue, are you? It's about the precedent it sets. You start chipping away at one fundamental right. Where do you draw the line?
Right, Kate.
Today it's reproductive rights. Tomorrow it's your freedom of speech or the right to assemble.
Yeah,
Right.
it's like a domino effect.
Exactly, a domino effect. It's like they're saying, look, you might not care about this particular right today, but wait till it's one you care about that's on the chopping block, right? And speaking of things that feel, I don't know, a little too real, they have this whole section about the power of words, about the dangers of authoritarian rhetoric.
Oh, and you know what I found interesting? They almost seem worried about writing the article itself.
Worried.
It's like they're saying just raising these concerns could be seen as subversive. In a society where certain voices are silenced, just speaking up is a risk.
Wow.
You know, it reminded me of that famous photo, the lone man standing in front of the tank in Tiananmen Square.
Yeah.
Powerful image. That's courage, right? Standing up for what you believe in, even when it's dangerous. And that's what these authors are getting at. When leaders use language that incites violence, that demonizes their opponents, when they disregard the rule of law, it creates a climate where dissent is dangerous. Democracy can't survive in that kind of environment.
It's such a stark contrast, you know?
Yeah.
We're taught about reasoned debate, about agreeing to disagree. That's fundamental to democracy, right?
Right.
But words have consequences, and we've seen it throughout history, haven't we? Whether it's Nazi Germany, the Rwandan genocide, hateful rhetoric can escalate to violence and oppression so quickly, it's terrifying.
And the scary part is, it often starts subtly. Dog whistles, coded language, and then it escalates. Open hostility, threats, and then ultimately actions. Actions that target and harm entire groups of people.
So what do we do? How do we combat that? Because it feels like they're saying this isn't just about voting in the next election. It's about something much bigger. It's about actively fighting for the very idea of democracy.
Right.
It feels like they're issuing a call to arms, but not with weapons, right? With ideas, with engagement. But what does that even look like in the real world? It's easy to feel overwhelmed by it all. Like, what can one person even do?
Oh, I know that feeling. The information overload, the 24/7 news cycle.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to tune it all out, right?
Right.
But that's the thing about democracy. It needs us to be paying attention. It needs informed citizens, engaged citizens. It's like tending a garden, right? You can't just plant the seeds and walk away, can you?
You got to put in the work.
Exactly. You got to water it, weed out the bad stuff, make sure it gets enough sun. And that's what they're asking us to do. Stay informed, be critical of the information we're consuming, and most importantly, hold our leaders accountable.
They talk about voting, obviously, but holding leaders accountable, that's a year-round job, right? Not just every 4 years. What does that even look like outside of an election?
It's about being an active citizen, not a spectator, you know?
Yeah.
So contact your representatives, even when you think they aren't listening.
Hmm.
Support organizations doing good work in areas you care about, and this one's important. Talk to people who see the world differently than you do.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I know. But not to argue. Not to try and change their minds, even. Just to listen. To understand. Because that's where you find that common ground. And that's how we move forward together. Remember, democracy thrives on respectful disagreement, not blind agreement.
It can be so hard to find that middle ground these days, you know?
I know.
They also touch on something that feels so relevant today. This idea of rejecting violence and threats as a form of political expression.
Absolutely. Violence has no place in a democracy. If it comes to that, we've already lost. Think about Gandhi's philosophy of nonviolent resistance. It was about confronting injustice, yes, but through dialogue, through peaceful protest, never through force.
That takes incredible strength.
It does. But that's the power of true democracy. It gives you the tools to fight for what you believe in without resorting to violence.
You know, the thing that really stuck with me was this idea that this election, it isn't just about picking a president, is it? It's about something bigger. It's about choosing what kind of country we want to live in.
It's a big responsibility.
It feels like a lot of weight.
It is a lot of weight.
Yeah.
But it's also empowering.
Yeah.
Because it means we're not powerless. The future isn't predetermined. It's shaped by the choices we make every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're reminding us, right? Do we stay informed? Do we speak out against injustice? Do we engage in respectful dialogue, even when it's difficult? These little things, they might seem small, but multiply them by millions of people, and it creates a movement. It can change the course of history.
A lot to think about.
It is.
But I guess that's what a deep dive is all about, right? Grappling with the big questions.
Exactly.
Maybe coming out the other side a little more informed, a little more engaged.
And hopefully a little more hopeful.
Yeah, a little more hopeful about the future. Because really, the future of democracy rests on us, on everyone listening right now.
That's right. It's in our hands.
Well, that's a pretty good note to end on.